This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is it time to fix economic statistics the way we repair bridges and potholes? I'm David Brancaccio. One thing that's a good bet for 2022 here, policymakers at the central bank, the Fed, will ratchet down stimulus in the form of the bonds it's been buying during pandemic. Plus, expect some interest rate increases, in part to keep the edge off the higher prices we're seeing. Let's check in with Paul Christopher, who's head of global market strategy for the Wells Fargo Investment Institute.
I think where we saw the markets finally land, investors finally make up their minds, is that, yeah, it's probably okay for the Fed to start tapering, maybe even accelerate their tapering of their securities purchases. And it might even be okay to do some interest rate increases. But now the idea of, well, gee, is it three or four? We think one or two is more likely given the slowdown that we expect in the economy during the year ahead.
We've just come off the strongest three-year stretch for the stock market since really the late 1990s. With this talk of tapering back stimulus, with possibly interest rate rises, you think these share prices can be maintained in 2022?
Yes, we do. It may not be another 27% up year for the S&P 500, but we think the S&P 500 certainly can post positive gains. Even with inflation and even with the Fed raising interest rates, we still think demand in the economy will be sufficiently strong that it will drive revenue and allow earnings to continue to increase.
Paul Christopher is head of global market strategy for the Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Apple stock had a good day yesterday, and when you multiply that share price times the number of stocks, you get a result close to $3 trillion. There's a moment yesterday where this on-paper valuation of Apple crossed above that $3 trillion mark, a first for any company. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Apple has benefited from the 2017 tax law and the enormous sums it spent on stock buybacks. The law made it cheaper for corporations to move cash hoards from overseas accounts, and Apple has taken advantage. In the last fiscal year, it spent nearly $90 billion on stock buybacks, which helped drive up a company's share price. Apple's iPhone also remains more popular than ever, even during the pandemic. Apple sold a record $192 billion worth last year. Investors are betting Apple can keep making expensive and fashionable gadgets. Although as BlackBerry services turned off for good today, we're reminded that what was once in fashion can quickly fall out. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Quitting Time is our ongoing coverage of people leaving jobs for something better, something new, retiring, or maybe leaving to mind the children. Later this morning, we get new federal data on how many people are quitting. Here, an update on bus drivers, where transit agencies are cutting service and scrambling for talent. Marketplace's Matt Levin reports.
The San Diego Metropolitan Transit System had to cut its bus trips by about 8% because it can't find enough people to drive. Mark Olson heads marketing for the agency. He says like other transit systems across the country, it's tried raising wages, offering $1,000 signing bonuses.
We're doing things like on-the-spot hiring where people can get interviewed and then actually get a job offer that same day.
Finding bus drivers was tough even before the pandemic, says Joseph Kane with the Brookings Institution. The average age of a bus driver is over 50.
Some of them may have already been reaching the end of their career anyway.
Others have fled to commercial delivery services that often offer better pay and more flexibility. Kane says a driver shortage will only compound the broader labor shortage, even if many commutes have been replaced by Zoom.
Those who don't even necessarily ride transit every day, perhaps they depend on workers who do.
And the more routes are cut, the tougher it is for many essential workers to remain essential workers. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
Don't know if you've seen the new Matrix movie, where again, machines make humans live in a false virtual reality. But if we understand our world in part through statistics, what if imperfect numbers are distorting our view of the economy? And some are worried about how we've been measuring the health of the job market or inflation or how much technology helps us get done with our time, that is productivity. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell is here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
All right, these off-cited economic statistics, what's your concern?
Let's talk about jobs. The BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, has really struggled to come up with accurate job figures in 2021. They underestimated the number of jobs by nearly 1 million. I'll give you another example. Headline inflation, it's up sharply. But researchers into the digital economy, you know, when they take a deep dive into high-tech gear, what they find is that the official inflation numbers may be too high.
What can you tell us about what the core of the problem is?
Okay, first I want to say what isn't the problem. There is no criticism of the agencies that produce the economic numbers. Look, they're aware of the problem. They're trying to address them, but they're hampered by a lack of resources. That said, here's the core of the problem. Our basic economic numbers haven't kept up with the dramatic changes in the digital-dominated economy.
All right, haven't kept up, but how deep do you think this problem runs?
So there's this wonderful conference. It was put together by the Progressive Policy Institute, and it was organized around the need for better statistics. And economist Diane Coyle, she updated a well-known paper by Zvi Grilliches. It's from the mid-1990s. And in trying to understand the productivity numbers, he calculated that the easy-to-measure productivity sectors, like agriculture, manufacturing, accounted for only 30% of the economy in 1990, and that's down from 49% in 1947. Now, here's the thing. Coyle updated his calculations, and by 2019, only 23% of the economy was easy to measure when it came to productivity. So that's what? A fifth of the economy.
So what I'm hearing is the hardest to measure parts of the economy when it comes to, for instance, productivity include some of the most innovative and important sectors like high tech and finance.
That's right. And these digital technologies, we know they're fundamentally altering the economy, but it's becoming harder to understand from the existing numbers whether we're seeing economic progress or not.
So it's almost like an infrastructure problem. We're looking for statistical infrastructure.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers that we rely on right now largely came out of the Great Depression and the Second World War. There was a real need for better numbers. Well, once again, the need is there. With the rise of the digital economy, we need better data and we need better ways of gathering that data.
All right. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And Starbucks says all of its 228,000 employees need to be vaccinated against COVID or get a weekly test. Starbucks people will have to disclose their vax status by this coming Monday. The company says it's complying with OSHA rules for companies with 100 or more employees. Now, this coming Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments on a challenge to the vax or test rule after it was upheld by an appeals court panel. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.